So, question for you this morning. As the picture shows up on the screen, have you ever felt like this at worship? Have you ever felt tired, sleepy? Maybe you had a rough night. It was difficult getting the kids to church this morning. It was difficult getting yourself to church this morning. Anybody ever feel this way ever? Am I alone? Am I just a horrible person? Okay, so we got a few of you there. Okay, so I like to call this kind of the mess face, okay? The emotionless, I don't hate everything right now, but like I could be okay with not doing what I'm doing right now. Like I could take it or leave it type of feeling. Some of you have felt this way before. Maybe it hasn't been about worship, but it's been about school or it's been about work or whatever it may be. And I bring this up this morning because I think at times we have this feeling when it comes to worship. When we hear the idea of worship, we have to admit that there are some mornings or some weeks that we feel kind of like this baby. Tired, beat up, and not really feeling it today. And maybe I'm just alone. Maybe I'm the only person who has felt this way before, but I think at times we feel this way about worship. If you're anything like me, there's been times in my walk with Christ where I've been totally behind the mission idea, I've been totally behind this idea, but when it comes to the idea of worship, that's been something I do if I'm feeling it right now. Or maybe for some of you guys, you just hate singing and you don't want to sing at all. Now, I talk about singing because that's often what we think of when it comes to worship, but I would like to argue this morning that we're missing something when we feel this way about worship. That worship isn't just a side thing that's a part of our relationship with God, but it's a vital part of our relationship with the God of the universe, and it is so much more than singing a song on a Sunday morning. Actually, I'd like to argue that, in fact, not engaging in worship is actually detrimental to our relationship with God, and that there's actually a lot at stake when it comes to worshiping. So this morning, if you'll humor me, I'd like to deal with this problem. I'd like to talk about what it means to engage in worship and what we're missing out on and why it is so important. Because the scriptures are very clear. Worship is a vital part of our relationship with God. So there's a lot of places in scripture they talk about this idea of worship. They talk about worship. But one of the places happens quite often is actually in the Psalms. The Psalms are a place that we get a lot of ideas about worship. Worship expressed in a bunch of different ways. And one of those psalms that expresses it very well is Psalm 100. I love this psalm. It's a great psalm that talks about the idea of worship. And so for us to talk about this idea of engaging in worship, what worship is this morning, I want to dig into Psalm 100. And so you're welcome to open it up in your Bibles. I'm going to have it up here on the screen for you as well, but encourage you to keep it open as we're looking through. We're going to just jump through the whole psalm. It's a short psalm, only 5 verses. And starting at verse 1, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations." So the Psalms are an interesting book. If you guys don't know a lot about the Psalms are very different from the rest of the books in the Bible, mainly because the Psalms as a whole are collections of worship songs, essentially, and poems that the Jewish were important to the Jewish people. A lot of these Psalms weren't just read, they were sang as worship songs, as songs that they sang to worship God. And these Psalms have a lot of different themes in them. But one that pops up all throughout the Psalms is something that I call a calling theme or a summoning theme, which is that the Psalm is summoning God's people to do something or summoning the earth to do something, calling them to do something. And we see this in this Psalm. Psalm 100 is a Psalm I would put in this category that is a summoning of something. It's summoning God's people to something, and that something, that act, is worship. And it's within this psalm I think we learn something very important. It's something that if we're going to understand why it's so important we engage in worship, the first thing we need to understand is that worship is not a preference but a calling on our life. See, we are called to fully engage in worship. We are called to fully engage in worship. You know, I was a kid. I was a classic teenager. I loved listening to music, and I loved ignoring my family. Okay, so this was two very high characters. My mom is nodding. It's much less awkward when you tell these stories and your family aren't here because they can't confirm things. Okay, so anyway, I was a classic teenager. And I remember when I was in high school, I got what was called an iPod. Some of you guys may remember this, okay? This was during the dark ages before our phones could also play music, okay? So I had this 30-gig iPod. I saved up for it. I bought it off of eBay from some guy that I don't know. And it showed up to my house and it was just attached to my hip. I loved this thing. I'd play music, you know, before touch screens, you do a little scroll wheel and take 18 years to find what you're looking for and then hit play, right? So I loved this iPod. But there was a side effect of this iPod. I took it with me everywhere, including family trips. One of the classic things I did on family trips, because I was a teenager and I didn't want to talk to my parents, was that when we would drive to my grandparents, the iPod headphones would go in and they would never leave the entire trip. I would just play music. And occasionally my dad would, you know, get annoyed at what was going on and would try to get me to talk to him and take out your stupid headphones and talk to me. That's my paraphrased version, okay? But that was classic what we did on trips. And I was even a kid as well. We'd go to the grandparents and it was too frustrating to talk to my family. And so occasionally I'd do what I call the one headphone ear move, which is like you're sitting on the couch and you kind of want to communicate to people that, like, I'm not rude enough to not be a part of this conversation, but also, I don't care, okay? And you put the headphones in. This is inherited into my family because Lena is solid at this, okay? My sister, who does this all the time. She asked to be in this message, so don't feel bad for her. Okay, so, right, so we classically do this. And I used to do this all the time. And even beyond this, right, the classic teenage responses to my family. Like my parents, my grandparents would ask, you know, how's life going, Josh? Good. How's that girlfriend? Good. House school, okay, like one word solid answers. And it was classic. God has a way of bringing this back around because I eventually became a youth pastor and realized how frustrating this was, okay? Teens, God will bring back whatever you hate most about what you do with your parents, okay? Just note that, okay? So experience this all the time. But what do we learn in this? Do we laugh at people for doing this? But we learn something very vital, and that's that just being present isn't engaging. You can be present without actually engaging in the environment that is around you. Because engagement isn't presence. Engagement is action. Engagement is interaction. It's expression. And so what does it mean to fully engage with God? What does it mean to fully engage in worship? Well, it means not just being present in life, present on a Sunday morning, but actually looking for the moments and the avenues that God gives you to act of what he asks you to do. See, something we learn very important about what it means to engage in worship is that God wants us to engage in worship with all avenues of our life. With all avenues of our life. See, God gives us multiple avenues to worship him and engage with him. Avenues to take action. Avenues to be present. Avenues to express. Avenues to take that action throughout our day. We see this in Psalm 100 at the beginning. It calls us, it says, shout for joy, worship in gladness, come before God with songs. These are not passive things. These are things that we do. The passage is calling us, don't just be there, take action. And even more than this, it's so much more than just singing that is worship. If you look at the word that's used in this verse for worship, some of Bible translations actually translate the word service instead of worship. And the reason for that is because the word that the Hebrew people used for worship meant so much more than just singing. It was the idea of service with your life, action with your life, work, toil, struggle. It was the idea that your whole life, every action you take, it's prioritized to God, and that is worship. It's why in Romans we see the idea that God calls us to be a living sacrifice. Because worship is a lifestyle where we find avenues throughout our day that God gives us. And so part of that, yes, is on Sunday morning, is singing. Singing is not something we just invented to worship God. It comes from Scripture. Classic, someone who wrote a ton of Psalms was David, and David did this all the time, playing with whatever weird instruments they had back then, wherever he had in his hand, singing to God, praising God. And so part of it's what it is on a Sunday morning. Engaging on a Sunday morning looks like not just showing up and thinking through what you have to do for the week, but actually stopping, letting go of all of that, and engaging in the avenues of worship that have been given to you this morning. Taking a moment to sing to God. Who cares how bad your voice is? Mine is horrible. Okay? Sing to God, worshiping Him. Engaging in that action. And then as we leave a Sunday morning, it's more than just that singing. It's taking the message that we hear and actually trying to live it out. It's trying to live it out throughout the day. Because here on a Sunday morning, it's not the only place we worship. We worship when we go to work and we prioritize His priorities at our job. You know, my father has moments of wisdom, like here. Sometimes worshiping God is taking the moments in the midst of the craziness of life to ask God, what do you want me to do here at my job today? Sometimes worshiping is prioritizing your kids' relationship with God over wanting to see them just be successful. Sometimes worshiping God is taking that moment to just sit down and pray because you are so overwhelmed. See, God gives us avenues, reading His Word, talking to Him, serving Him, and in those we are engaging in acts of worship to Him. Now, why does God ask us to do this? Does He just want us to jump through hoops? What is He trying to get us to do? Well, as you saw on the screen, it popped up here earlier, I believe the one of the main reasons God asks us to do this is because in worship, worship is our chance to actually engage with God. See, worship is so much more than just an action we're asked to do. It's a chance to engage with the God of the universe. We see this in Psalm 100. See, Psalm 100 has this structure. Verses 1 and 3 tell us what worship is. They call us to worship. And then verses 2 and 5 give us reasons for why we should worship. But in verse 4, we see this. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. There's this imagery in the psalm that when you are coming to worship God, you are not just singing, you're not just taking an action, but you're actually entering into the presence of God in that moment. That you are coming alongside God and speaking to Him, talking to Him, serving with Him. When you act as God calls you to act, you are not just doing it alone, but you are coming into the presence of the God of the universe. See, worship is so important because it's our chance to actually engage with God. And we need this type of engagement with God because of how we develop a better relationship with Him. You know, I was actually thinking about this last night. I had a completely different story that was going to fit here, and then we had friends invite us out last night after I was done working on my message, which was a horrible idea. But we went out for like 45 minutes to catch up with some friends that I had known from the last church that I was at, Life Point. And they were good friends. The wife, her name's Jess, she worked on our leadership team on the youth, helped lead the worship team, and Brad was a fellow drummer. So we just got to catch up for a little bit. And something hit me last night. See, I've been struggling in the essence of when you leave somewhere and you move somewhere else trying to keep up relationships with people. I don't know if anybody's ever struggled with this before. But I realized something. I haven't seen these people in months. I haven't talked to them in months. And I could see as we met together just this relationship coming back. A relationship that had been lost for months. See, when we don't take avenues to engage with people, what happens to our relationships with them? They change. Sometimes it's okay because that's life, you move on, but sometimes you lose that relationship that you have. I mean, imagine if we treated God, if we treated our wives and the people we live with like God, we walked in and we said nothing to them. Like if I walked into the house and Sam walked in and I just didn't say anything to her and I went upstairs, closed the door, and never left until she went to bed. Anybody think my relationship would be solid? Sam's laughing. Because that would suck and I would be in a lot of trouble. See, but we do this with God all the time. See, this is why worship is so important. Because I hear people say all the time, like, I'm just not feeling it worshiping today, or I didn't experience God today, or I didn't do this today, as if that was the requirement to worship. The problem is, we have it reversed. Worship is the way we build our relationship with God and engage with Him practically on a daily basis through action. And when we choose not to worship, that's the reason we're hurting our relationship with God. It's not we experience God and then worship. It's that we worship and we worship and we worship and God shows up to engage with us. This is why God calls us to worship in all circumstances. Not because He's a dictator, not because He wants to torture us, but because He's saying, you need me in the midst of whatever you're going on right now. And so worship, because I'm here, and I want to engage with you. It's in the midst of serving alongside of Him, praising Him, that we get to experience the presence of the God of the universe. And that's why God calls us to continually push ourselves out of our comfort zone and engage in what He asks us to do. Not because He's a dictator, not because He wants us to do things so we'll love Him more, but it's because He already loves us and He's inviting us into a relationship with Him through worship, and He wants to engage with us. So that's why He calls us to engage one step more each day. And for some of you guys, this looks different depending on where you're at in your relationship. I think engaging with God is a progressive thing that happens over time. Some of you showed up this morning and you've never done this whole church thing. You've never done this whole Jesus thing. And for you, out of your comfort zone and engaging right now is just simply sitting in the seat. But if that's where we stay our whole relationship, eventually we just start going through the motions. And that's why we need to keep pushing ourselves to engage further. Pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone, pushing ourselves into what God keeps opening to us and asking us to do, because it's in the midst of this that we grow closer and closer to the God of the universe. See, this is why worship is so vital to our relationship. Because when we don't do it, we're cutting off our time with God. And how could we ever expect our relationship to be deeper when we do that? Now, some of you sitting here this morning might be saying, that's great, Josh, that's awesome, but you don't know what's been going on. It's tough enough for me just to show up here this morning. You don't know what's been going on in my life. You don't know what's been happening. I don't have a reason to worship this morning. I am lost. I don't know what's going on. Some of you are struggling with medical problems. Some of you are struggling with family problems. And I get it. There's times that the struggles feel so heavy that you feel like you don't have anything to celebrate about. I mean, even in the midst of a world today where my father mentioned earlier, shootings happening around the country, how could we have anything to worship about? And I've said countless times in times I've preached at different churches and here that you're right. I don't know your life. It's easy for me to stand up here this morning and say, worship God, because I don't know what happened today when you walked into here. But it's also easy for me to say worship God and engage with God and know God in the midst of all of this, because I may not know you, but I do know God. And I do know that because of God, we always have a reason to worship no matter what is going on. So you can see the second part that we need to learn about worship is that we should strive to engage in worship because God is worthy of all the worship we can give. See, no matter what's happening in our lives, God is a solid, stable, never-changing God of the universe, and He is always worthy of the worship that we can give Him. Because in its essence, we're connecting with God in worship, but there's something more going on here. We're giving God what He deserves. Because worship is not just about us. It's about declaring who God is and thanking Him for who He is. This is exactly what the Psalms teach. They give us this call to worship, saying, come and live out your life for God, engage with God, come into the presence of God. And then remember, I said there was a structure. Verses 3 and 5 give us the reasons for why we should do this. And the first reason has to do with the greatness of God. See, in verse 3 it says this, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. What's the psalmist trying to say? He's saying, worship. Why? Because of who God is. He's trying to remind us who we're engaging with. This isn't just anybody. This is the Lord of the universe, the God who made the heavens and the earth, and the God who made you and knew who you were before the universe ever existed. This is the ruler of all. See, part of the reason God is so worthy of our worship in the midst of anything is that God is the one great person truly deserving of our worship. You know, when I was in high school, I got to go to a lot of midnight showings of movies back when they still did them, like the actual midnight showings where you showed up at midnight, stayed up all night, watched the movie, and then were a wreck the next day. Some of you are nodding your head. Yeah, I've experienced that. I used to go to a lot of these different midnight showings, but one of the first ones that I ever consider a real midnight showing I went to was one of the final Harry Potter movies. It was, I think, the second to last one, and I went to the Great Escape Theater to see this movie. And I remember we were going to this movie, and my friends and I were like, oh, we'll get there a half hour early. It'll be fine. This was back before you could reserve your seats, right? So we were like, we'll get our ticket. We'll get in there. It'll be great. Half hour's plenty of time. And so we drove to the Great Escape, and those of you who have been there, right, you come to the mall, you turn around that corner, and then see the Great Escape. And I saw a sight that I never thought I'd ever be able to say out loud, and that was I saw a line of wizards, okay? Just a line of people at this Great Escape Theater. And we're talking before they redid the road and kind of moved things back and moved stuff around when the corner actually came up to the end of the street. There was a line of people in wizards' costumes from the door of the Great Escape Theater to all the way around the building. And it was terrifying, okay? Just people dressed up in hats and wands and robes, and I felt very underdressed in jeans and a t-shirt, okay? We showed up, and there was just this massive line of people. That is one of the worst seats I've ever had in the theater, in case anybody was curious. We got into the theater, and I just got a seat, like, in the front corner, right where you have to look up, and the whole time you're like this. Like, oh, look, his face is huge, okay? That was my experience in this theater. And I would come to discover more of those experiences as I went to a Star Wars showing and there were lightsabers everywhere. But why does this happen? Why do all these people show up for these things? It's not always movies. Sometimes it's concerts. Sometimes it's events. Why do people show up in droves for these things? Because the reality of it is when we think something is great and it's greater than anything else, our natural response is to show up. People show up for great things. That's why they can sell so much money doing these movies, because people think they are great. And they will spend their time and their energy investing in these things. It is a natural human response to show up and give of our time to something great. And if we really believe God is greater than anything else, He deserves all of the time we can give Him. See, this is something I've struggled with a lot in my life because I feel like there's times where I'm like, I'm not feeling this. Life is too difficult. But then I realize something. No matter how difficult life is, I'm always worshiping something. Because it's those things we turn to in the midst of all of this, instead of God, that we're worshiping instead of Him. See, great things deserve our time and energy, and God is greater than all of them. God is greater than any person or thing on this earth and deserves our devotion above it all. And how this has changed my life in worship is the fact that reminding myself of how great God is, I find that I naturally start to worship Him more. Because it's our natural programming that when we discover something great, we give of our time and energy. God is greater than anything in this world and deserves all the worship we can give Him. It's the first reason God is worth all of our worship. But it's not just who God is. It's also what God does. See, God's not just this great person who's like, look at me, look how great I am. Show up. God shows up too. See, the second reason God is worthy of all our worship is that God does more for us than we can count. God does more for us every single day than we can count. This is exactly what verse 5 is getting at. So verse 5 comes in with this idea of why we should worship. So we're called to worship, enter into His presence. Why? Verse 5 says this, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." See, the psalmist is saying, show up in the presence of God. Why? Because God shows up for you every single day. He is there, arms wide open, and He does more for us than we can ever count. See, if I've discovered anything over my life, it's been this, that too often we forget the things God does for us, and we just pay attention to the things we think He isn't. But God does more for us than we can count. God does so much more for us. And if we doubt it, just look to Jesus Christ. See, because the reality of it is this, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know who God is, and I know He is there for you, and I know that this is the God who split the Red Sea. This is the God who saved the Israelites. This is the God who delivered Peter from prison, brought Paul into his relationship with Him. This is the God who rose up a church across the entire world, and it is the God who sent His only begotten Son to die for you. God has proved time and time again that He does more for us than we can count. And I don't tell you this to make us feel guilty that we're not worshiping God. I tell you this because I have found that when we focus on who God is in the midst of everything, it drives us to worship and engage with Him in a way that if we focus on everything else going on in our life, we don't. See, I've had mornings that I show up and I don't feel like worshiping God. And the thing that has changed that for me is just taking a moment and stepping back and asking God, what have You done for me? Who are You? And I'll be reminded of the countless times as a kid running through high school who dealt with depression, a kid who lost everything after high school, a kid who felt like at times God was never there, but He was always there, and I get to look back on my life and see all the times God was there even though I didn't think He was. And it gives me a confidence in the midst of a moment when I feel like God isn't there that He is. Because I know 2 years from now I'm going to look back on this moment and remember that God has been there. God is always there for us. And see, when we're not feeling God, it's not because He's not there. It's this reminder of who God is, the constant God of the universe that should drive us to worship Him. Because when we focus on these things that God does for us, I don't know about you, but it drives me to worship in a way that nothing else does. Because in its essence, that's what worship is. It's engaging with God and expressing how we feel to God in our thankfulness for who He is. Because of God, we always have a reason to celebrate. We always have a reason to be excited. Even in the midst of all this chaos in our world, our stable rock is God. It is Jesus Christ. And we should always be able to celebrate because of that. You know, I was mind blown a little bit when I read the program for this morning. Because there's not a lot of planning that goes on when I do these messages. I kind of just throw things at people, and the worship team picks songs, and then things happen, right? Okay, so, but I had preached a message similar to this a few years ago. And in doing that, we chose a song to end the service with. And it was "It Is Well With My Soul." And I didn't talk to the worship team at all about this, but they picked this song this morning. And I want to share why I think that's so important. Because if you don't know the person who wrote "It Is Well With My Soul," read his story. It is a powerful story. The guy who wrote this song wrote it after losing his entire family. His wife, his kids had been killed in a fire. He'd lost his house. His house had been destroyed in a fire. His kids went off to England with his wife, and he was going to get on a boat to follow them over there. And as he's going to get on this boat to follow them over there, he finds out that all, I think, three of his daughters, I'm paraphrasing because I didn't expect to tell this story right now, so work with me. But all of his kids die He lost his entire house, then his kids, and then his wife. Everyone. And what does this guy do? He gets in a boat, going over to see the family that he had lost, and he pens a song called "It Is Well With My Soul." And just pay attention to the lyrics. See it from that imagery, a man who has lost everything. And what's he writing? "It is well with my soul. Through it all, it is well with my soul." Why? Because he has the God of the universe. And he has a hope that can never be ripped away from him, found in Jesus Christ. And he knows, even in the midst of this darkness, that that God is there with open arms saying, "I am here. Come to me." And so that's what I invite you to do this morning. And I invite you to do this week. There is a God who wants to engage with you. And he's sitting here saying, "I'm here." And nothing's going to change that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for who you are. That you are a God who is stable. You are a God who never leaves us. That you are a God who is here for us through everything. And Father, I thank you that you give us avenues in our life to take action towards you, to engage with you, that you don't hide yourself from us, that you are not distant, but that you have come here, broken into our world, and made yourself available through your Son. Help us to not focus on the life things that are going on right now. Help us to just focus on who you are. Because there's no greater hope, and I thank you for that. Pray this in your Son's name. Amen.